If you got a Bible there with you, open up. I'm just going to read to you two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, really close to where we preached this morning. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. I'm going to go ahead and read it to you, and then we'll get into our lesson. It says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia." And what I want to focus your attention on is a phrase that Paul uses there in verse number 12, where he says, "And a door was opened unto me of the Lord." You will find throughout the New Testament, especially throughout Paul's writings, that he uses this symbolism of an open door, a door being opened up, to kind of picture for us the opportunities that the Lord gives us to lead others to Christ. And certainly we can make opportunities, can't we? I mean, there's nothing wrong with going and, you know, if you sit around all day just waiting for the exact right moment, guess what? The devil's going to make sure that moment never comes about. So yes, it does take some offense on our part. It requires us to kind of go out there and actively seek people for the Lord. But the greatest way to lead people to Christ is when the Lord opens the door, isn't it? When the Lord gives the opportunity. And I believe that's what Paul was saying here. He was saying when he went there to preach Christ's gospel, the Lord opened up the door for him. He gave him a great opportunity to be able to do that. A little later in this book, Paul tells these Corinthian believers that being crafty, I caught you with guile. And of course, the idea there is that Paul said, I was crafty in winning you to Christ. I didn't just sit back and just try to, you know, well, the Bible says this, you better get saved. No, he says, I actively worked and I not tricked them. I don't want to say that by any means, but he maneuvered and he did everything he could to try to bring them to Christ. He was crafty and that's how he won them. And so that being said, I really want to give you a lesson today on the idea of using open doors. See, not only looking for the open doors that God gives us on a daily basis, but when you see them, knowing how to use them, knowing how to go through that door and lead that person to Christ. Now, in doing so, I want to just give you a couple of examples. First thing is I want to give you a couple of examples of what not to do, or at least not the best way of doing it. There are certainly times when you just have to approach somebody, Sue, and go, have you ever been saved? No. Have you ever been saved? And you just walk right up to them and approach them. There's certainly times where you're going to walk up to somebody and you're going to say, do you know where you'd go if you died today? I mean, that's going to happen. And those times, there's nothing wrong with that. But let's just go ahead and admit amongst ourselves, that's not really the greatest way of doing it. What is a person prone to do when you say something like that to them? Defensive, shut down, they don't want to hear anything else from you. And yes, that'll come up sometimes. And it's never easy to give the gospel, and it's never easy to hear the gospel either when you're lost. But there are ways to be crafty. There's ways to kind of use those open doors. So the way not to do it is you don't want to go up to somebody and say, you're a lost sinner on your way to hell and you better get saved. I mean, that sounds real good in theory, but it doesn't work real well in practice. I'll be honest with you, and this may make me some enemies out there in the world, but I'm not a big fan of the Romans Road. Now, the Romans Road will get somebody saved. I just don't think it's a very good method of leading them to Christ. You say, why? Because it's like reading a list to them. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you a sinner? Well, I don't know. Well, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you believe that? Well, I guess I kind of... Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9-10... That's how I've seen, and I've seen many times the Romans Road given just that exact way. And what's the problem with it is it doesn't let the lost guy talk. You know something? You're not trying to recite a script to them. You're trying to let them in their own heart come to the realization, you're guiding them to the realization that I cannot save myself and Jesus Christ is the only thing that can. And so here's some of the right ways you do it. I'm just going to give you a few examples. I read years ago of a man named Walter Wilson, Dr. Walter Wilson. He was not a preacher, not an evangelist, none of those things. You know what he was? A medical doctor who got saved and decided he wanted to live his life leading others to Christ. And they say that Walter Wilson is one of the greatest soul winners you've ever met. And he was crafty, like Paul mentioned. He knew how to use those open doors. And one of the ways Walter Wilson would do it, he'd go to a park, and he'd walk around in the park. He was kind of an older man. It probably made a lot of sense for him to be walking in the park in the middle of the day. I know not all of us can do that. You're working, stuff like that. But he'd go down to the park. He'd walk around, and he'd find some man or some woman who had a dog, and they'd maybe be sitting on a bench or something like that. Instead of walking up and saying, "Here's a gospel tract, read that sometime," he'd allow an open door to come up. He'd walk up and he'd say, "That is a beautiful dog you have there. What kind of dog is that?" Get them talking. They'd talk. They'd talk about the dog. Doesn't matter what they say about the dog. Let them talk. Then he'd say, "Is it all right if I pet him?" If they said yes, he'd go down there. Of course, if they said no, he wouldn't. He'd pet the dog. And he'd say, "Now, where did you find a dog like that? Where did you get him?" And they'd sit there and talk about it. He'd talk for 10 minutes about the dog. And then after that 10 minutes, he'd say, "You know, though, it sure is a shame about that dog." And she said, "What do you mean? What do you mean a shame?" He'd say, "Well, you know, you can't take him with you." So what do you mean? He said, "Well, the Bible said in Revelation that without are dogs," talking about heaven. He said, "And as much as you love that dog and as pretty as that dog is and as valuable as he is to you, he's nowhere near as valuable as everlasting life. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you see the difference? See it? You can crafty. You can come around instead of just punching them right in the face." I was thinking of another one. There's one that I've used before, and I heard it years ago, where people like to use Jesus Christ's name as a bad word, as an exclamation. I say, "Jesus Christ, Christ this, Jesus that," right? You hear people in your workplace, somebody stubs their toe or something, "Oh, Jesus Christ," you know. One of the great things you can do is play dumb. If the lost person thinks you're dumber than they are and you're just like some kind of plum dumb, it's great. It's much better for a person to think you're dumb and actually be smart than for a person to think you're smart though you're actually dumb. Can we all agree on that? And so what you can do is that person go, you know, smash their finger with the hammer or whatever, "Oh, Jesus Christ." Say, "Oh, you know my friend?" And they'll look at you, "What friend? What friend are you talking about?" It doesn't matter what they say at that point. You say, "Jesus. You mentioned Jesus. That's my friend. The Bible said he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's the best friend I have. You know him?" And I tell you what, I've used that one before. They'll be so freaked out, they can't hardly stand it. But guess what? There's no backing out of that. They can't go, they're stuck because they messed up. And now you've called them on it. And that's a great place to have a lost person. You got them roped in. I used to think about Dr. Jack Hiles. Now, I didn't agree with Jack Hiles on everything. Jack Hiles was a great soul winner. And they say that he would go into a floral shop and he'd order some flowers for his wife. But he'd find a way to witness to those women or those men there in that floral shop. He'd walk up to them and say, "I'm looking for something very specific." "So what you looking for?" He'd say, "I'm looking for the Rose of Sharon." They'd say, "Rose of Sharon?" They'd get on their computer, I guess back in that day, you know, whatever their file system, they'd look around and say, we don't have the Rose of Sharon." He says, "Oh, well, I've got it. Can I tell you about it?" And talk to him about Jesus Christ. Goes into they didn't have these back when he was living, but Bed Bath and Beyond, something like that, or not Bath and Body Works, something like that. Go into some place where you get lotion, you know, skin cream like you ladies like. He'd walk up there and he'd buy the stuff he needed, and while they were ringing it up, he'd say, "Let me ask you something. I looked all around," he said, "but I didn't see that you all have the Balm of Gilead." The Balm of Gilead, I think Jeremiah, that's one of the titles for Jesus Christ in the Old Testament when it prophesies. It says there is a balm in Gilead, talking about Jesus. He's like a balm that soothes you, right? And he said, "I didn't see the Balm of Gilead anywhere around here." I'd say, "Balm of Gilead?" And they'd sit there and they'd toil around, they'd talk. He'd just let them do it. Then he'd finally say, "Well, I know where to find the Balm of Gilead. Can I tell you about it?" And he'd say, "Jesus has soothed my soul. Jesus has saved me." And he'd get in there and he'd use that balm to illustrate to them that Jesus would save them. And do you see what I'm getting at here? It's not always about going up and saying, "Get saved, you dirty, rotten sinner." I mean, that ain't it. I mean, standing in a pulpit preaching, standing on a street corner preaching, yes. I mean, you might have to stand up and say, "All men are lost and you need to be saved." That, you got to be direct. I understand. But in your day-to-day life, you're probably not going to be able to go up to your boss or your coworker or somebody like that and go, "Get saved, you dirty, rotten wretch." You know, you're not going to be, and you shouldn't do that anyway, but you all understand I'm using that to get the point across. But there are ways to do it. There's ways to kind of get around their insecurities and their defenses so that you can win them to Christ. Now, the thing is once you use those open doors and you're looking for those open doors, it's fun to get to use those kind of ways. It's fun to find new ways to be able to lead people to Christ. You can literally take almost anything You can be sitting in a hospital room. I got to finish up or I'm going to break my promise. You can be sitting in a hospital room. Somebody will have a magazine in their hand. Probably their phone nowadays, but used to be a magazine. Sometimes still a magazine. You can just kind of sit over there and maybe you've been waiting for 30 minutes, waiting to get back to see the doctor, and they're waiting too. And so you turn over to them and you say, "You know the crazy thing about those magazines?" And they'll say, "What?" "All the ads in them. You ever notice how many ads are in those things? They're almost entirely ads." And they are, aren't they? And they'll say, "Well, yeah, you're right." And then let them talk about ads. Who cares what they say? I just sit there and listen to them. Say, just nod your head. Doesn't matter what they're saying. And you say, "Well, what do you think the most advertised thing in the world is?" And they'll say something. Cigarettes, cars, something like that. They'll give you an answer. They'll postulate. They'll think about it for a little while. It doesn't matter what they say. You're heading somewhere. Say, "Well, I can tell you what the most advertised thing in the world is." I said, "What is it?" I said, "The birth of Jesus Christ." "What do you mean?" "Every time you sign a check, you have to put down that it's been 2017 years since Jesus Christ was born. Every time you pick up a paper, you make a document, and you have to record something, you have to note how many years it's been since Jesus Christ was born." You know what that is? That's an advertisement for the fact he was born. Guess what you've got them in? You've got them talking about the Lord, and you've got them heading towards salvation. Now, it may still not work. Sometimes people will find a way to get out, but imagine soul winning like it's a battle. That's the way the Bible pictures it to some extent. It talks about we're using the sword of the Spirit, right? It's like being in a battle. And you may not win every time, but you can still get a few blows in. You can still get behind the defenses. And so you're not against the lost man, don't get me wrong, but we're trying to win him. And so the best way to do that is look for those open doors and find ways to get in there and lead that man to Christ, right? So here's my encouragement for you this week. Pray. That's the number one thing. Pray for open doors. Lord, help me to have some opportunities to lead somebody to Christ this week. Help me tomorrow. Help me today to have an opportunity to tell somebody that about that Jesus will save them. Lord, give me the wisdom and the discernment to see the open door. Because by the way, you've got them and I've got them, but you know what we do most of the time? We're so interested in just getting on with our day and not having to get involved in it, that we just kind of push the door closed. We say, "I don't want anything to do with that." Lord, give me the discernment and the desire to go and take that opportunity. And then do it. Don't take excuses. Don't make excuses. Just do it. And that'll help you this week. So using open doors. All right, let me give you one last thing. Write this down if you got a pen there. I should have this written, but I don't. Eventually, about the time we're getting ready to be done with these lessons, I'll figure out everything I should be doing. Hebrews 9:27 is our memory verse for this week. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." That one's much easier than this past week. So Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Got it? Good? All right. Free to go.